Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. imports and exports both held virtually flat in August. Exports fell 0.1% from July to a seasonally adjusted $189.22 billion, while imports to the U.S. were essentially unchanged at $228.02 billion. The nation's trade gap nudged up by 0.4% to $38.80 billion. The decline in exports reflects decreases in the amount of industrial supplies and food shipped abroad. Imports held flat because increased demand for capital goods was offset by weaker purchases of consumer goods, cars, and oil. U.S. Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew today called on Congress to replace across-the-board spending cuts with other reductions, marking a potential shift from the White House's repeated demand that the cuts should be partially replaced by new taxes. Many Republicans want to replace some of the sequester cuts with reductions in spending on entitlement programs. A Congressional Budget Conference Committee will begin meeting on October 30th to try to map out a budget agreement. USDA reported export sales reports. These are catch-up reports. This one for the week ending October the 3rd. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 24.0. Corn this year, 52.8. Soybeans this year, 34.2. And next year, 0.7. Also this morning, private exporters reporting the USDA export sales of 210,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 2014-15 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading at 15,394 is up 43 points. The NASDAQ, 33.39, down one half of a point. The S&P 500, 1741, it is unchanged. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Renner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. We've got ourselves a northwesterly flow blowing across the Midwest. And because of that, we are looking at some cool weather still prevailing across the region. And for those of you that are up or headed towards the Great Lakes region, we're still going to have some lake effect rain occur as we go forward through these next 2 or 3 days. I think that the forecast right now is looking a lot better for harvest, though, across western and southern parts of the Midwest. There should not be any real meaningful precipitation out there through Sunday now. Now, with that said, there will be a few spits and spats, a little bit of drizzle, maybe an isolated shower every once in a while, but the resulting moisture shouldn't be great enough to cause any serious setbacks in our farming efforts here. So we will be seeing some improving progress as we move forward through the weekend. Now, the northwesterly flow out there is going to continue to bring cooler air across the heart of the Midwest, and because of that, we're probably going to see those temperatures holding fairly steady at a well below average range in some locations. The high temperatures yesterday were running mostly 30s and 40s across the Midwest, and this morning we were in the 30s again. The exception to all this was yesterday afternoon's highs from Kansas and Missouri into parts of Kentucky and southernmost sections of Illinois did get up into some lower 50-degree readings. It does look like the cool air mass isn't going anywhere very quickly. In fact, a strong high-pressure center will be settling into the heart of the Midwest as we go forward through this next two-day period. And so we'll see nightly freezes occurring down fairly deeply into the Midwest, actually all the way through the Ohio River Valley and down into portions of the Tennessee River Basin. Even parts of North Carolina and Virginia will eventually see a little bit of frost and freezes. If we were at any other time of the growing season, it would be an issue, but we are mature enough with our crops out there that it shouldn't be much of a concern. But it is important to note the fact that the growing season is coming to an end. And once we get beyond this cold two- or three-day period, we will be seeing a change towards some warmer weather. Unfortunately, when you have a deep cold air mass like the one we have right now and you start warming it up, quite often we bring moisture with that warm-up and you start a great deal of condensation in the atmosphere. And that's what's going to happen here as we get into early next week. The Western Corn Belt will likely see a fairly good chance for rain developing Monday through Wednesday of next week. And then Tuesday through Thursday, the Eastern Midwest will be impacted as well. What that means is that we're going to have to focus fairly steadily here over these next few days on the drier weather and take full advantage of it while we can, because obviously field work is going to be somewhat set back next week. The moisture totals with the storm next week at this early guess is probably going to run from about 2/10 to 3/4 of an inch in the Western Corn Belt with a few pockets of greater amounts of moisture. And then areas east of the Mississippi River will probably see 3 to 9/10 of an inch with some local totals getting upwards to about 1.5 inches. Some of the pure model data out there that we look at today has suggested that even greater amounts of moisture will come with the storm system next week. I'm very leery about buying into that right now, so we'll see how it goes. Right now, though, that'll be our conservative look at the storm. We'll take a better look at it again tomorrow. The temperature forecast is going to continue to suggest that we'll see afternoon temperatures getting up into the 30s and 40s in the northern parts of the Midwest today and on into Saturday, actually. And temperatures in the lower parts of the Midwest will be mostly 40s and lower 50s. As we get into late in the weekend, early next week, we'll see those afternoon highs getting back up into the 50s and 60s across the heart of the Midwest with perhaps a few lower 70s in the south. And our lows at night will get back above freezing in many areas. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red December wheat, 7.69 1/4, down 1.5. Soft December, 7.02 1/2, up 3/4. December corn, 4.41, down 1 3/4. July, 4.69 1/4, down 2. November soybeans, 13.15 3/4, up 5 3/4, now up 6.16. July, 12.63 1/2, up 1 1/4. December soybean meal, 4.26, up 4.60. December soybean oil, 41.41, and it's down 9. October live cattle, 1.32 even, up 20. October feeders, 1.66.05, down 10. And December lean hogs, 88.42 1/2, they're up 27 1/2. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
The interim trading range in corn lives on.
Yeah, we are really stuck in a sideways, and probably the little wider range is 432 to 450 on the December. Notice that we poked up above that 20-day moving average again yesterday, actually closed a quarter above it yesterday, but right back down below it again today. That seems to be a real stopper.
Do you think that there is a mini head and shoulders bottom on this chart formation?
Well, I think we're going to have to wait and see. Right now, yes, I would say so, but we need to take a look at some of the stuff that comes in well under 440 today.
Do you think the corn market has a pop coming into it heading into next week's export sales report?
Boy, Dave, I don't know. You know, we've got some decent export interest, but a lot of that's going to South America because they've undercut us price-wise. Brazilian corn is just priced so much cheaper, a lot of that down around $2 a bushel.
Yeah, I hear it's sitting on the ground. They're trying to get rid of it.
They are sitting. It's sitting on the ground, and they don't have the right kind of weather situation to be able to hold big piles outside, and maybe perhaps not the expertise either.
And the bean market, it all continues to be about November, it looks like to me.
Yeah, we saw a big liquidation in the last couple of days on November positions, but those seem to be going right into the January. Friday, the options on the November beans expire. I would imagine we're going to be somewhere in this $13 range. That seems to be the most popular strike price.
Calls and puts.
Yes, on the both side of those. Mm-hmm. I thought one of the things that was really encouraging yesterday, not just the building inverse, but also good volume on the upside move yesterday, I thought was good.
Well, I guess what we need to see is a price above 1315 with conviction.
I'd say above 1315, 1318, and act like we want to stay there. Certainly we have held above $13 in the November today, although the January just slipped under that slightly this morning.
A quick word about livestock.
Livestock market really have seen a lot of enthusiasm on the cash side of the cattle. We saw early week cash business. We've got these box beef prices up above $2. The last time we were there was in May. We topped at around 204 and a fraction.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. December corn, 442 down 3/4. July, 470 down 1 1/4. November soybeans, 1316 up 6. July, 1264 and a quarter up 2. December soybean meals, 426.20 up 490. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.